Parshas Baloischa, there is a fascinating yisoid that is underlying, that goes right through this parasha, that if one goes a little bit below the surface, one comes out with a limud that is extremely, extremely powerful. The pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Baloischa, "Daber Hashem Amoish Leimo, Daber El Aaron, speak to Aaron, Amata Elov, and speak to him and tell him, V'maloischa esaneiros amul panei menorah, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah." So Rashi asks, the first Rashi in the parasha, Loma Nismacha, all the Gemara's out, please, all of them. Any Gemara you see, take them all out. Yeah?
That's the Kakas.
That's the Kakas. Ken, I'll show you the Gemara. I'll
give them up.
Otherwise, you're going to have it every second. Okay, says Rashi. Loma Nismacha, Parshas HaMenorah, Parshas HaNasim. Why is Parshas HaMenorah connected to Parshas HaNasim? Yeah, in other words, at the end of last week's parasha ended with the Nesim, each one of the 12 Nesim giving a very generous gift to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. So why is Parshas Baloischa connected to that? Says Rashi. Loma Nismachal Parshas HaManoi, the Parshas of Nesim. What's the connection? Says Rashi, the Fisha Kishiro Aaron Chanukas HaNesim, when Aaron saw the whole excitement of the Nesim giving their day, Cholsha Oz Daitoi. Had chalishus hadas, he became depressed, as it were. Kishloi hoya imoim bachanuka, loyhu v'loy shiftoi. Neither him nor his shevet were involved. Omalaya Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, Chayecho, I promise you, shalacho godol mishalahem. You have a greater chelik than them. Sha'atam madlik umeitiv esaneiros. You have the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. In other words, the mitzvah of menorah was before this parashah Baloischa, as we talked about much earlier on. Why comes in over here? He was depressed. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, your mitzvah that you're doing every day is bigger than what the Nesim are doing. Now Rabbi Isai, Aaron was doing many things every day. Aaron was bringing the Keteris every day. Big mitzvah. Yeah, Aaron was doing Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Big Avodas, bringing Korbanos. Why is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him that the mitzvah of Menorah, what are you so upset about? You have mitzvah of Menorah? So your mitzvah menorah is far greater than the other Yidden's mitzvahs, than the Nesim's mitzvahs. They can't bring the menorah. He's a kohen gadol. He's doing avodah in a mishkan every day. Of course your chelik is greater than them. Why is it that the menorah seems to stand out as something that is unique? Something that is going to make you happy, that is going to take away your depression. Don't worry, you've got the menorah. Why is that more than any other avodah he's doing? Okay? So the Ramban asks that. And the Ramban says, he brings from Megillas Storim, Rabbeinu Nissim, and he says that Yesh Chanukah Acheres Sheyesh Bo Hadlokas Neiros. I'm not talking about lighting the menorah now. I'm talking about lighting the menorah in the time of the Chashmonoim. Not talking about the avodah that you're doing now. In the time of the Chashmonoim. Eventually you're going to have the Nes of Chanukah that's going to be called the name of the Chashmonoi. That's what we're talking about. This is the Chanukah of the Chanukah of the Bnei Chashmonoi. And that's why the connection towards the Chanukah as a connection. By the way, on Chanukah we read each day one of the 12 in the sea, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day. And the end, we finish off, he talking about the menorah, Yerushalayim HaMenorah, based on this Midrash story. In other words, what we're talking about of Aaron is saying to Aaron, don't worry, you have a part of history that will be based on your children. Chanukah, there'll be one day where Shevet Levi, where the Kohanim were great, and they're done through your children. Don't be depressed. You have a very, very special chelik in history. I have a kasha on that. People have bechira. The Bnei Chashmonoim had bechira. They could have decided to fight, or they could have decided not to fight. How can a Kodesh Baruch Hu promise them that they are going to be children who are going to be fighting for Klal Yisrael? How Kodesh Baruch Hu make a nest for them later on? Maybe it won't happen. Maybe they have bechira. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling them, no, I guarantee you, yeah, I guarantee you that they are going to be doing this nes, right? It's sort of, they shouldn't get so much credit for it. if they're only shluchim of Kodesh Baruch, they shouldn't be getting any credit for it. What is it that you're getting credit for the fact you're going to have children who go to do a mitzvah? So I'm not quite clear in this. So l'chayra is like it's as follows. Let's leave those shaylos on the side. There is a very, very important kasha that Rashi brings, and it's very obvious. The parsha Sefer Bamidbar. When was Sefer Bamidbar said? Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Bamidbar Sinai be'oil moed be'echod l'chodesh hasheni be'shona hashenis be'echod l'chodesh hasheni. In other words, the first of the second month, b'shona hashenis in the second year. In other words, Aleph Iyar, the second year of coming out of the of Mitzrayim, Sefer Bamidbar began. Correct. However, if you look later on in the parasha, this is how Sefer Bamidbar began. Yeah, let's open up Sefer Bamidbar. If you look at later on in the parasha, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe. This is Perek Tes. Pasuk Aleph. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashenis. Okay, it's the same year. Le'tzeisom me'eretz Yisrael b'Chodesh Horishoyin Leimur. In the first month. Oh. So what's happening over here? The Midbar starts with an Iyar of the second year, the second month. Whereas Parshas Baloischa, two parshas later, it starts talking about something that happened a month earlier. Says Rashi, the famous Rashi. Parsha Shabaresh HaSefer Nemra Ad Iyar. The Parsha beginning of Middle Onus Ad Iyar. Lamadatot to teach us She'ein Seder Muktim Umu'ucha B'Torah. There's no order in the Torah. Fine. There's no order in the Torah, I understand. But still, there's got to be some reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu put it later. V'loma lo'i posach b'zeh. Why did HaKodesh Baruch Hu not begin Parsha Bamidbar with, in chronological order, with this Parsha of Perek Tes? Says Rashi mipnei shu gnuson shel Yisrael. It was to the gnus. Gnus was to the good translation of the word gnus. It was a disparaging element of Klal Yisrael. Shekol aboim shona shoy Yisrael b'midbar. All 40 years that Bnei Yisrael were in the midbar. Lo hikrivu ela pesach zebul va. They only brought up this korban pesach. Okay. So the fact that it only brought up this Korban Pesach all 40 years that they were in the Midbar, that is a gnus. That's not nice. And if you don't want to begin the parasha of a Midbar talking about Korban Pesach, that will focus as if Klal Yisrael only did one Pesach and didn't do anything else, that's not nice. So you know what? Let's not begin the parasha with this. Hopefully those people who are, you know, the Bible critics won't get as far as Parshas Baloischa. They'll drop off and it won't be the gnus. And let's sort of sandwich it in some in the middle of Baloischa. Let's not begin it. Rabbi Yisrael, why is it gnus on Shal Yisrael? Why didn't Klal Yisrael do the Korban Pesach then? Why not? They were lazy. They didn't have enough animals. Why didn't they do it then? There's a pasuk, the pasuk of Ahoyakia v'yachol el ha'aretz, when you come to the land, and then your children are asking, ma avoyda hazoyos lachem. There, the Sifri teaches us that there's an Indian dafka to the Korban Pesach when they come into Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why they did a Korban Pesach over here in the second year before coming into Eretz Yisrael was a gezeirah sakosuf. Hashem told them to. This parasha, Perek Tes. There's no other reason. So what's gnus on? What's the gnus? They weren't told the other 40 years that only when they come into Eretz Yisrael is there a mitzvah. What's gnus on? So Das Kanin brings down that the gnus on was that it took them 40 years to come into Eretz Yisrael. Now, they could have come to Eretz Yisrael a lot quicker if it didn't have Parsha Shlach Lecha. Didn't have the Meraglim.
They just called them Pesach. They could have brought other Korbanos, right?
Yeah, come here, other Korbanos. But the Korban Pesach was a problem. So the Gnus was a fact that it took them 40 years to get into Israel to reach the stage of Hoyakiv Yachol. That's one pshat. But there's other pshatim as well. Why did the Taka not bring the Korban Pesach? The Gemara says in Yevamos. Remember this Gemara? The Ayin Aleph from the base. Why did it not bring the Korban Pesach in the Midbar? And you remember this? Oh, Gemara said the midbar my tamaloi. Says the Gemara, because why did they not bring it? Because they were not mohel. Gemara in Yevamos of Ein Aleph from a base. They did not have bris mila. They did not do bris mila to the children in the midbar. And the halacha is that if you have a child who's not mohel, a child does not have mila, it's also for you to bring a korban pesach. Asks the Gemara, why didn't they do mila to the children in the midbar?
Dangerous.
Oh. Two reasons. One reason of the Gemara, because it was a chulsha d'urcha. traveling. They never knew where they're going to travel. And to travel with a baby just had bris milah is dangerous. And therefore they couldn't do it. Says the Gemara, there's a certain northerly wind that makes that heals a child. And because of the Anane HaKovod, that wind did not blow into the Machne of Yisrael. And therefore, because of those two reasons, they could not bring the Korban Pesach. So I ask you, Rabbi Isai, is that Gnusan Shal Yisrael? Is that so bad? They couldn't do it. They were honest. They couldn't do it. And because of that, because they couldn't do it, no, we don't like to talk about that. Let's bring it in Parshas Bala Yisrael. Let's not bring it in order. Let's talk about something else in the beginning of Parshas Midbar. Why is that Gnusan? Gnusan means it was not nice. It was not something correct. Was it their fault that the wind never blew? Was it their fault that they were traveling? That's Gnusan Shal Yisrael. It's brought down. In the Sifri, it's brought down that the Klal Yisrael, in other words, the other Shavotim, did not bring the Korban Pesach in the Midbar for all those 40 years. But Bnei Levi did. Bnei Levi, every single year, brought the Korban Pesach. Are you going to ask, hi? They're not allowed to, it says not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach if your children do not have the Bris Milah. The answer is that Bnei Levi did do Bris Milah in the Midbar. Are you going to ask, what are you talking about? There's an awesome to do it because of, it's dangerous, of Chulsha de Urcha, because they're travelling along the way, or the wind, the Ruach's wind doesn't blow. Says the Gemara, says the Medrash, what they used to do is, that they used to go outside the Machne. They went outside the Nane HaKovod, and they did the Bris Milah there, and there the wind did blow. And what about travelling? If you're travelling, if they did Bris Milah on today, and they used to travel, they'd wait a few days, until the baby healed, and then they'd run after Klal Yisrael and catch them up later. And that was Bnei Levi. Rabbi Isai, do we understand now what's Gnus over here? The Gnus is that there's a major difference between looking at Torah as Chayiv and Potter. Am I Chayiv or am I Potter? Klal Yisrael were for sure Potter. The Torah says you have to marry children, and what can you do? You're Potter. If I look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch will tell me I'm Potter. I've got no chiyuv to do it. But the Shulchan Aruch does not say that the Ratzon Hashem is to base itself on that excuse. Klal Yisrael's connection with Ribbono Shel Olam goes beyond the Shulchan Aruch, goes beyond the dictates of Osa and Mutter. It is the idea of Shevet Levi, of not looking, what do I have to do? What is it, Osa, is it Mutter? What is Ratzon Hashem? I want to have this connection with Ribbono Shel Olam. And I will, Lifnei Meshurat Hadin. Lifnei Meshurat Hadin, I'm going to put myself in a position not to look for good excuses. I'm not going to look at those things that are Osa and Mutter. I'm going to go beyond that. I need the relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. And I'll prove this to you. Aaron HaKohen, what is he so upset about? The Nesim had no shaychus. The Nesim had no relationship with the Mishkan on a day-to-day basis. He did. So what's he depressed about? They brought a few kabbonas for one day each, and he every day he's got connection. What's he so depressed about? The Teretz is, of course, he had no chiv to bring those korbanas. Hashem never gave him that mitzvah. But a person who wants a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't look, am I chayiv to do it or am I potter? I want that relationship, and if I'm missing a little bit extra of connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam, I get depressed. I'm upset. That is Aaron HaKohen. Now we can understand the first kasha. Why is Menorah any different? Menorah, the Shemon HaTov says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron HaKohen, are you lighting a candle? I made the sun. I made the stars. Yeah, I made all the moon, I made everything that lights up the earth. And you're lighting a menorah for me? Are you joking? What, in a Mishkan I need a light? The Teretz is, what did menorah represent? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need me. But I want to do whatever I can to have a connection with you, even if it doesn't mean that much to you. I need that connection with you. Menorah represented the concept of, you know what? The thought that counts. Now, what Menorah represented? Menorah represented lighting up something that ultimately is doing whatever you can to connect with Hashem. That's the Menorah. Aaron was depressed I don't have this connection. Hashem says, you have a menorah. I see your relationship with me every day. You're upset, don't have a relationship. You're lighting a menorah. Menorah is all about making a little light, building this connection, even though it doesn't really make much difference in my world. But you want that relationship. You want that connection. If Aaron HaKoyen is in the mindset that he does not look at the Torah with the eyes of Mutter and Osser, he looks at the Torah as connecting the Bein Shein and not, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Rambam. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I promise you that in the future there'll be a time where your children who have received your chinuch will fight for Yiddishkeit even though they're potter from doing mitzvahs. You can say, look, what do we want? It's, we're honest. Yeah, it's dangerous here. You can't do mitzvahs. You know what? You can't. Shulchan Aruch may tell you not mechui to fight Levonim. Maybe. I'm not going into the whole thing whether it's Shas HaShemad. But maybe. But that is not Levim. Levim don't live their life. Shevet Levi do not live the life of Chayiv and Potter. They live the life of relationship. And if it means fighting against a whole Greek army, we will do that because we want that relationship. If it means looking for oil and lighting oil that ultimately is not going to last for all those days, and looking and searching, we will search because we need that relationship. You can't find it. Ridiculous. Everything's Tommy. No. But we'll find and we'll look and we'll search until we find a little card that has oil on. That is what the parasha is saying. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises a tribe who looks at Torah not as, you know, am I chayiv? Yes. If I'm not, Baruch Hashem, I can sit back in my sofa. No, it's relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm hungry for that relationship. That is what's going to create a Shevet Levi that will be the Chashma future. And you know what? Something incredible. The Gemara says in Brachos that there are many, many ways a person does not have to give Truma. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that only when in Yichayv Truma is if it's Roa Pnei Abayis. If you actually bring the Truma through the front door. If you bring the Truma through a ceiling, if you take off the ceiling, take off the roof that you have and put it through the roof of the house, window. Or put it through an upstairs window, yeah, you're not chayv truma. In other words, there's a legal loophole to get rid of truma. How do kohenim live if that's the case? Everyone can use this loophole. Are you chayv to bring truma if it gets put through the roof? No. Take the roof off your barn, a special legal loophole roof, open up the roof like a sliding roof, dump in all the tefillah inside there, close the roof again, he potter from truma. How are these levim going to survive? How are these kohenim going to survive? What are they going to do? The teretz is, HaKadosh Baruch says, I promise you kohenim, that there will be Klal Yisrael are not looking for chayiv and potter. They're looking at giving truma. And your very existence, your food of the kohenim, was dependent, their very nourishment, what they had for breakfast, dinner and supper, was based on people who are giving them things because they want a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, not chayv and potter. On the toast, they smeared the jam, yeah, of the fruit that was picked by people who could have got away with it. Ah, Shulchan Aruch says I'm potter, and that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking to do Ratzon Hashem. I'm looking to have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's how they got the food. If everyone was looking for excuses, they would starve to death. They survived on the concept. The very nourishment survived on the concept of having a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is Shevet Levi. Let's go further in the parasha. The parasha talks about a very, very strange parasha. They come along to Moshe Rabbeinu later on, and V'yema Hanoshe Mahema in this Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin. Anachnu Tmei Nefesh Adam, people who are Tomei Meis. And it said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Loma Nigora Lebilti Hikrivis Korban Hashem. Why should we lose out? Why should we lose out? With Tomei Meis, we can't be in a Korban Pesach. Moshe said to him, good question. Imdu ve'eshma ma'itzav Hashem lochem. Stand by and listen to what Kosh Baruch Hu told you. Now, what was their taina? What were they trying to do? How were they going to deal with this? They come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't bring the Korban Pesach. So what should you do? Make them not Tomei. The Torah says a person who's Tomei cannot bring the Korban Pesach. What did they expect? What did they expect? Yeah, don't worry. Forget about it. You can bring it. What did they expect? What was their taina? So the Gemara says, look at Rashi already, Loma Nigora, Omer lehem ein kadeshim kravim, ein kodshim kravim betumah. You can't bring a compass, that could be atomic. Omer loy, so he said, no, Yizrak hadoma leinu bekoinim tohirim, v'yochel habosu letumayim. In other words, it's discussing the Gemara more deeply. In other words, bring up the Korban Pesach, you won't eat from it. On that, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, you can't bring a Korban Pesach, even if you don't eat from it. A Korban Pesach cannot be brought by a Tommy. The Gemara says, if a person's Tommy, you can't bring a Korban Pesach from him, even if he doesn't eat from it. It's Osa. So they said, okay, you know what? Let's not eat from it. Let's join up with somebody who's Tohoir, and we'll join up with his Korban, who won't eat from it. But you're still not Yetzer. You have to eat a Korban Pesach. So what do they expect? What do they want over here? You can't. It doesn't work. Why should we do that? What do you want? What do you expect me to do? You tell me, Mace. What do you expect me to do? No, but at least we can't be Yetzer, but let's have somebody else eating it. But if you don't eat it, not Yetzer Korban Pesach. What do you want? What's Haxton Kop? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Fantastic thought. Says Rav Moshe, Yiddishkeit is not about... Yiddishkeit is not about, oh, I'm Potter, thank you very much, sit back. He says sometimes, if you can't fulfill the mitzvah properly, you should at least attempt to do the best you can. For example, says Ramesh, let's say a person cannot eat a kezias of moro because it's dangerous for him. Right? He can't eat a kezias of moro. So if you're not chai, if you're chai, what should I do? Finished. Says Ramesh, so have a little bit of moro. What does that help? Haven't been yetzer my mitzvah. You're potter. You're oinus. What do you want? The teretz is no. Of course I'm potter. Of course I can't. Of course I gain nothing halachically by eating a small amount of mora, not a kezayis. But it's not the point of osir mutter. It's not the point of chayv and potter. It's a point of Rebbein Shleinam, I want to have a shaychus with you. I want this relationship. And I can't, so I can't. At least I can do whatever I can. Loma Negora means to come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, listen, we can't bring the Korban Pesach, granted, but at least let us have a Shaychus, at least let us have some kind of relationship with this Korban. We want to have this relationship, we want to have the Shaychus. And these people were Choshev, HaKadosh Baruch appreciated them. This is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not about, am I Chayiv, am I Potter? Am I obligated, am I not? And if I'm not obligated, thank you very much, off you run. That is completely, completely not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is Rebbein Shleilam, I may not be Chayiv, but I want to be Chayiv. I want to have this relationship. Ramesha says, that's Peshat. Very, very nice Peshat. That's Peshat when you go to a bris. You say, Kishem Shenichnas a bris, Kein Yikonis a Torah u Lechupa Lemaisim Toivim. Ask Ramesha, what's Torah Lemaisim Toivim? Obviously, you all had this question. What's Torah Maisim Tovim? If Pshat is just learning Torah without doing mitzvahs, then that's ridiculous. That's a university professor. That's not a yid. The Gemara says if a person wants to learn Torah, start out fulfilling the mitzvahs, bet he should have died at birth. Yeah. If Pshat is I want to keep the mitzvahs without learning Torah, Maisim Tovim without Torah, then in Amor it's Chosid. You don't know the halachas unless you learn. So obviously you need Torah and Maisim Tovim. What's the case? Torah and Maisim Tovim. What's the two separate brachas? Just say Torah, and Torah means obviously learning Torah in order to keep it, and let new the mitzvahs. So the Moshe, no. A person can fulfill, the first part is Torah means following Shulchan Aruch. Torah. Following Shulchan Aruch, Mutter and also the Shulchan Aruch. But that's not enough. It's got to be Maisim Tovim. There's got to be, we wish this baby should have a relationship of being a real Jew. That even those things that he's potter from, I should still feel a want to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though I'm excused from having to do it. The Maisim Tovim is the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even once the Shulchan Aruch says you're potter. And that's Torah the Maisim Tovim. Klal Yisrael, who looked for themselves, am I chayiv and am I potter to bring the Korban Pesach? I can't bring it. I can't do mila to my children. That's gnus on Shal Yisrael. That's a gnus. Somebody who does not look into Yiddishkeit with the view of I want to do a little bit more to be mechayiv myself. That's gnus. We're not interested in having them in the beginning of the Sefer Bamidbar. That's Peshat. I wanted to say two more. Beautiful, beautiful pieces over here. One from a Divrei Yecheskel, the Shinavarov, and one from Shimon Schwab. And both of them are both Yisidus in life, both on this theme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Ben says to these people, right, Mayor? Says to these people, I don't know what's going on. Vayoyma Aleya Moshe, Moshe said to them, Imdu ve'eshmo, stand by and listen, Ma yitzava Hashem lachem, Hashem will command you. So the Gemara says, wow, how amazing that is, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? I guarantee you HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer me. Imdu ve'eshmo, stand by, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer me. What's the saying? It's as if, you know, I was by a person recently, professional. I was very professional, and I asked his advice about something. This guy is he's a big guy in his field. He didn't know the answer. So he said, I have to ask my advice of an even bigger professional. So he phoned up this bigger professional, and he didn't answer his phone. And about 2 minutes later, this bigger professional recognized his number, and he phoned him back. Right? And the guy, you know, should have seen the simcha on his fellow's face, that the person phoned him back, that this godler in his field, yeah, phoned him back. Recognized someone phoned him back. You know, and he was like, you see, he phones me. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to these people, Rabbeisai, you asked me a good shayla over here. I guarantee you the boss will answer my call. Imdu ve'eshmo, stand by. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer my phone call. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu onov mikol odom? Partially of ish Moshe onov ma'id. He's an onov. Gentlemen, I guarantee you, stand by, Hashem will answer my call. You want to see? He's going to dial his number. Stand by, listen, he's going to answer me. Yeah, dial his number. Yeah, you all, let's put it on loudspeaker. Yeah, he's going to answer me. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, the parash was brought down later on in Devarim. V'adova asher yiksha mekem takrivu nelai ushmatim. The big difficult things, come and ask me questions. Yeah, for that small nekuda, the Rashi says over there in Devarim Aleph Yudzayin, al dova zeh nistalik mimenu mishpat b'nei salafchot. Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the halachas of b'nei salafchot. He forgot halachas because he said, the big questions bring to me. This is even more gaiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer my call guaranteed. Watch this. How can you say such a thing? It's so out of character. And Taka, why did it work? Says the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of Arav. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is not saying he'll answer my call. Look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ve'eshma ma'itzava Hashem lochem, to you. What's to you? Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen to this. If you're coming to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with a complaint of Lomo Nigora, why should we lose out? We want more Ruchnius. We want connection. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then I guarantee you HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not ignore your request. If somebody comes to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I want the Chol HaTorah Kula. Look at the brain you gave me. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I want to give tzedakah, but I can't. If a person is really amistic, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteed to answer, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm telling you, good question, Lama Nigora. If you ask the question, Lama Nigora, why should I lose out? I want to do more in Ruchnius. For generations and generations, Moshe Rabbeinu teaching us a lesson, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer the call. And why? Because not answering me, it's answering Lochem, it's answering your request. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always answer the call if you're asking for seriously more in Ruchnius. Even in small things, there's a famous, such a typical Maisa, whether these Maisas are true, I don't know. But it's very typical, you know, they say Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was once pacing backwards and forwards in the base of Medrash, in the Mir. And eventually he goes outside the window, he puts his head outside and says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, help me, Shem. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, help me already. Right? And after a few minutes, he goes back to the window, Adank, thank you. Lama Nigora! I want to know Pshat and Tosfos. Why should I lose out? I want to have a Geshmak in Torah. Why don't I have it? I want to have this connection. Imdu ve'eshma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stand by, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer you. Not those people who are Mutar and Osa. Those people who are looking for that Lama Nigora. Why am I losing out this relationship? That is the Shin of Arav. Now I want to tell you one last vot from Shimon Shvav. Such an unbelievable vot. Basically, you may not know this, but the Gemara reckons there are actually six sefarim. It's not Chamish L'Chumshi Torah. There are actually six sefarim in the Torah. They're six separate seforim. It happens to be that one sefer is gobbled up in another sefer. But there's actually six seforim. There's Bereishis, Shemois, Vayikra, Vamidbar, Vayehi ben Sarah Ha'orim, and Devarim. In this week's parasha, very full parasha, a lot of interesting halachas, but again, we start slipping over here. The parasha says, in the Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayisu Mahar Hashem Derech Shleishis Yomim, they traveled from Mahar Hashem 3 days, Va'orim Bris Hashem Neisei Lefneim, and Orim Bris Hashem traveled with them, Derech Shleishis Yomim for 3 days, Losu Lehem Anucha, to find peace. Banan Hashem Aleim Yomim, Vanosim and Amachne, and HaKosh Baruch Hu traveled with them. Vayihibin Sa'arim, Vayimim Moshe, Vayihibin Sa'arim has little two nuns around it, like as if it's a bracket, that is a whole sefer by itself, yeah? And then it talks about Vayihia Om Kemis Oivinim, Klaisel started to grumble. Says the Gemara, why do we have Vayihi ben Sa'arim bang in the middle of these two parashas? So the Gemara to separate between Peronius and Peronius. We cannot possibly have two parashas so close to each other that talks about two such terrible things. We've got to have a whole sefer in the middle called Vayihi ben Sa'arim to separate between one group of Peronius and another group of Peronius. Peronius means troubles. Yeah, deep troubles. The deep trouble that I can see with my own eyes is Vayihi Om Kemis Oidinin, Rab Ozne Hashem. They're complainers. And a Kodesh Baruch wiped out a major part of Klal Yisrael. That is a terrible Peronius, granted. What are the Peronius on the other side of Vayihi ben Sa'arim? What's Vayihi ben Sa'arim coming to separate? What's the first lot of Peronius? Anyone know?
Them leaving Har Sinai quickly.
Very good. Them leaving Har Sinai. And Tosafot says they left Har Sinai ketinuk habireach mebeis haSefer, like a child runs away from school. If you watch kids when they leave cheder, they like shoot out of there like on an elastic. They're out of there no time. The Gemara talks about this. It's Tosafot in Pesachim in Shabbos of Kuf Tezayin Madalef. Tosafot says ketinuk habireach mebeis haSefer. They ran away from Har Sinai. They ran away from Har Sinai. Hashem gave them the Torah, and they ran away. They weren't interested. Tinek habarechem beis haSefer. Terrible, terrible, right? So therefore, we've got to have Vayihi ben Sa'arim in the middle, and then we talk about another terrible thing of Klal Yisrael complaining. Asks Rav Shimon Shvab a simple, simple question: if it was that bad, what punishment did they get? If it was that bad that you can't possibly put those two things together, you know, if you put those two things together, who knows what'll happen to the Bar Kayir? He may burst into tears. Yeah, he may just collapse on the. No, I'm serious, that's pshat. You can't have those two things together. So if it's that bad, what punishment did they get? What oinish did they get? Tinaka Berecha Beis HaSefer. Does anyone know what punishment they got?
You can't punish them, Tananim.
That was much, much later. Misoinim, of course. There was a fire went through the machne, and terrible stuff happening. But this, what was the punishment of Tinek Habarech and Beis HaSefer? If it's that bad, what punishment did they get? The terrace is, says Rav Shimon Shvab, that there are two kinds of punishment. There's a punishment of misoinim. Misoinim is where you do a particular chet, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings from the outside a punishment to destroy Klal Yisrael, a plague, a fire. That is a one kind of chet, one kind of punishment. So Shimon Shvab, you know what another kind of punishment is? When the chet itself is a punishment. For example, there's a mitzvah. I say deraisa v'hafto es Hashem lekech b'chol avobcho v'chol nafshcho v'chol meidecho. The mitzvah to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu with all your heart. You come to Kriya Shema and you don't have this ahava on your heart. What punishment do you get? Is it Malkus? Is it Kores? Is it Mises Beis? What punishment do you get? But you haven't full of mitzvahs. What punishment do you get? So the Shimon Shvab, you know what the punishment is? The punishment is that you don't have that relationship with him. The fact that you don't have that love is the biggest punishment within itself. Nebuch, do you know what it means to have a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? And you don't have the ahava, the punishment is the chet itself. The fact you don't have the ahava, that itself is a punishment. We say by Kabbalah Shabbos, Gam b'simcha v'tzahalo, bring Shabbos in with happiness. Why do you don't bring Shabbos in with happiness? What punishment do you get? The punishment you get is that when you see a tzaddik standing in front of shul with his face shining and he has a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and you don't have it, that is the biggest punishment. That is a punishment. What punishment do you get if you don't daven properly? You get an oynish. You may not get everything you could do, you could get if you daven more. Okay, actually, this is our tefillahs. If you don't daven properly, what punishment do you get? The punishment is that you haven't had that tefillah properly. You haven't had the relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And you see, this person in front of the shul knows how to daven. And he's speaking to Rebbeinu Shel Olam with all his kishkas. And his eyes are tightly closed. And he's speaking, mamish ponim upon to Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You don't have that. That is a punishment. That is a lack. That is a loss. That hurts. That correct the Yiddish house. That really hurts. That is the chet itself. The fact he didn't do it, that itself is a punishment. Klal Yisrael are leaving Har Sinai. The Torah was given to you there. And he could just run away. What punishment do you get? You know what punishment you got? That you didn't feel anything bad about running away. That itself. Nebuch. Nebuch. That you didn't feel anything about leaving Har Sinai. That itself is the biggest punishment. The loss of this relationship, that is the biggest punishment. That itself is so sad. That itself is a punishment. That's pronius. So the Shimon Shvah, two kinds of pronius. There's pronius where the chet itself is a punishment. Then we have Vahibin Sar Oren in the middle. Then we have another set of pronius where the avera comes from the outside. But they're just as bad. Not having this relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Not having this connection with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Not muta and osa. That's not what we're looking for. It's not mutter and osa. Double shulchan osa. Where does it say it's osa to do this? Is that what you're looking for in Yiddishkeit? Where does it say it's osa? Oh, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to do it. That's Baruch Hashem. Oi, I want that relationship. Avram Avinu. Yeah, there's a burning hot sun. There are no guests. If there's no guests, there's no chivach, nosas orchim. What are you so upset about? I've got no chiv, but I want to have guests. I need it. I need that relationship. That is what a Jew is. And that is Peshat in this week's parasha. All the way through, it's the same theme. Valois ches and neiris. Aaron had no chiyuv. Right, he had no chiyuv. No osa muta. You're right. But he's missing that relationship. He needed that relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a noyo that represented a relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that his children will carry on that legacy. That they will fight for something that they're potter from. That they'll carry on doing those things that the Torah says not mechuyuv to do. And will it be moisen nefesh? For what I believe in, even on a mechuyev to do it. It's genusan shel Yisrael if they don't do such a thing. We're lacking something if we're not like that. B'nai Levi, the Kohanim, survived on a daily nourishment by looking at Klal Yisrael for the trumas, even though they could get away with it, because that is what B'nai Kohanim are. But not only Kohanim, we said in this week's parasha, even those people who were not Kohanim, there were people who were Tomei, for Korban Pesach. They wanted to do the Korban Pesach. But you can't. I know. Give us something that we can have a relationship for. That kind of relationship deserves a response. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu will always, when a person cries, Lama Nigara, I want this relationship, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will answer and give him back. Eshma, Kodesh Baruch Hu will listen to him and give him back. And if a person doesn't have that, then ultimately, he himself is punishing himself. He is losing out on something that is so great. Relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu is so great. That is something the person doesn't have. The chet itself, that lack itself, is his own worst punishment. Let's all be zeicher to not look at Yiddishkeit as a law book. What does it say in law? What do I have to do? Don't look at Klal Yisrael's relationship with Rebbeinu Shel Olam as an eved. Look at it as a child. I want to do more. How am I mechayiv myself? How do I connect with Rebbeinu Shel Olam more? And be'ezus Hashem, if we daven for more siyat Shemaya, imdu ve'eshma, Kodesh Baruch Hu, stand by, Kodesh Baruch Hu, listen to that for this Mehirav Yomeinu.